Station Committee together. It's March 18th, and it's 8:04. If you would, call the roll. Here.
Here.
Here. Here.
I'd like to welcome Representative Talarico to the committee and welcome Representative Vasquez as the vice chair. Today we have a couple things in front of us. First is some confirmation hearings for the State Board of Education and Early Development. And we'll take those first because the first applicant is online waiting for to get on an airplane, and the other one is here in the room. And then after that, we'll go to the Professional Teachers Practices Commission appointees by the governor, and then we'll go to HB 107. Just a word of so everybody understands what the confirmation hearing is about. Is the role of the committee is merely actually to look at the credentials to ensure qualification. And, you know, we interact, get to know, talk to a little bit the applicants. But our action here is one simply to move the application to the whole body where that confirmation actually happens. The appointees, they're appointees of the by the governor. The legislature has no influence. Well, we might have influence, you know, through the telephone or something, but we have no direct connection to who the governor appoints. So what we do then is approve or disapprove, you know, the confirmation of that appointment by the governor. So we're just kind of a step in between here to review, you know, basically review credentials. So with that, we're going to go jump right into the confirmation hearings, and we'll start with the first on our list is Esther Cox, and Esther is online. If you would identify yourself for the record in just a moment here when I ask you. First of all, Representative Drummond has joined us at 8:07. When you make your opening statement, Esther, if you would, all of our paperwork is in air. It shows you as an applicant for the Board of Regents. It does not show you as an applicant for the State Board of Education and Early Development. So if you would clarify that, make it very clear what it is you're applying for, and I think that will suffice as far as long as it's clearly on the record what your application is for, and we'll proceed from there. So Esther, are you online?
Yes, I am, Representative Keller. I'm here.
Would you identify yourself and give us your statement, and we'll see if we have questions.
Yes, thank you. Good morning to all of you, the Chair, Representative Keller, and the rest of the representatives on the Ed Committee. My name is Esther Cox, and I was just reappointed by the governor. I was an applicant for the State Board of Education. I applied for a position on either board, and the governor saw fit to reappoint me for the State Board of Education. So I don't know about the paperwork that you have, but I have applied for this particular position. Do you want just a few comments about my background, Representative Keller, as an opening statement?
That would be great. And if you would, in your statement, and I will ask this of the other applicant also, but just if you would give us an idea of what you bring to the board in light of the current budget crisis and innovative thinking and how we may have to think out of the box and where we're going because of the, it looks like a huge reduction of revenue. So if you could just kind of comment on that, and then that will give the committee something to respond to on that. So please go ahead.
Thank you. I'll do this rather quickly. I stepped foot on Alaska soil in 1965, and I have been involved in education in our state ever since. I was a teacher. I taught Juneau for 3 years, and when I came back to Anchorage, I taught in a very special program. At that time, it was a grant program called the Rural Transition Center, when the boarding home program for Alaska Native students coming into the major metropolitan areas to school, and these youngsters came to, many of them in Anchorage came to this special program. I have been an assistant principal, a principal, educational consultant on when we built South Anchorage High School. I was on Governor Murkowski's education transition team, and most of you know I have been on the state board for 12 years. Representative Seaton and I have gone through a couple of these confirmation hearings together. I've seen a lot of changes throughout the years, positive changes, more options for youngsters as far as their education is concerned, certainly the growth of charter schools, which I think has been great, the statewide correspondence program, which has grown, and now we're talking, of course, CTE. I saw CTE come, I saw CTE go, and I saw CTE come back again. That's career technical education, which I am a full proponent of. As most of you know, I ended my professional career as the principal at the King Career Center, and the more hands-on stuff that we can do with our youngsters, I think the more successful they're going to be. Now we're talking about new standards. We're talking about dual credit. You also wanted me to mention, you know, thinking out of the box. Representative Keller, you are so correct. I've had some conversations with some legislators, and they just said, Esther, the fact of the matter is, you know, our funding is going to be cut, and we're going to have to think of a new way to deliver education. It's certainly something that our board is going to address. In June, we are having a retreat. That's one of the subjects we're going to be talking about. How best can we set priorities that will have something to do with funding, and what can we help as far as leadership is concerned for the delivery of education to fall within the realm of the new funding that we do have. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that any of the representatives might have, or say more about my background, but I think most of you are pretty familiar with this space in education in our state.
Representative Seaton?
Thank you. Good morning, Esther. I heard you say that you had been there when CT started and then went away and then came back. What is your analysis of CTE and its role going forward as far as in these budgetary times?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, there's no getting around it. CTE is an expensive program. I think at the other end, what we gain from programs that teach real life skills to youngsters is it's worth the effort that we make to fund those programs. One of the issues, of course, always with CTE, ran into this at the Career Center, you're facing it in all of the regional centers, technical centers that you have throughout the state. It's a spendy idea to stay current with the equipment and that these youngsters need. However, if you're setting a priority, I think that has to be a key issue. What do you get out at the other end? And not only do CTE classes keep youngsters in school, I think I've told this committee before that at the Career Center, I shared my students with the home high school principal. So I had their students a half a day, then they spent the other half day in their home high school. And some of those students, the high school would lose, but I never lost them at the Career Center because the relevancy of what we were teaching was, it was a carryover to students' lives. And one of the reasons that we have options is because we have so many different learning styles in student body that we teach. When I went to school, which heaven only knows how many thousand years ago that was, everybody was served the same thing. There weren't the options for youngsters. In fact, when I went to high school, The boys could take industrial arts, and the girls took what was called commercial arts. We could do shorthand and typing. Now, that gives you an idea how long ago that was. At any rate, the more options, of course, the better. But the CTE option, I think, is key to success for many, many of our students. So if I were writing priorities, I would say CTE has to have the funding. It's a workforce development, and it works. Our CTE programs work well with what's happening in the Department of Labor, so you get double bang for your buck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Representative Vasquez.
Ms. Cox, the principal of King Career Center, what improvements did you implement?
Oh, let's see. Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, we at that time were enjoying full funding from Carl Perkins. And so we were able to change over much of the equipment that we had and bring it current. For example, they had old Wang computers. We were able to get rid of those. We could put in a modern lab. In fact, they had a big computer, a big DEX computer, and we went to PCs. We were able, and the equipment was a big thing. And we upgraded our programs. One of the things that we did that I thought was key is that we really got advisory committees involved in every area. The Health Occupations had an advisory committee, and those were people from the community who worked in that area, and they were helping direct the curriculum so that when students went out on internships or shadowing or went forward in that particular area, they were prepared in what the employer could expect. Excuse me. We also took a look at our programs. We upgraded our programs. We changed, some of the programs that we had. We added TV, radio and TV. We added the TV aspect of it. So from the front door out the back door, we really tried to meet the needs of not only students, but what it was that the community had expectations when those students came out in that particular area.
Okay, thanks. Do you have a follow-up? Go ahead.
What was the budget? How many years were you principal of the King Career Center?
I was principal 8 years.
8 years. And can you tell us what was the first year, the budget there?
Through the chair, Representative, that's been a while ago. And I would be remiss if I tried to drag up numbers. I retired in 1998, so I went to the Career Center in 1990. And I just do not recall what the budget was.
Even the last year that you were principal?
Oh, I could make a guess, but I don't think that's... I just don't have that number.
Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
How many students did you have during the final year of your tenure at the King Career Center?
Through the chair, Representative, we had about 1,100 students. So we'd have about 550 in the morning session and 550 in the afternoon session.
Follow up. Go ahead.
Ms. Cox, how many?
How many programs do we offer? I'm thinking about the building, and I'm thinking about must have been about 18 programs.
Okay.
Do you know what the present enrollment is?
I do not, and I know that some of the programs have changed.
Follow up.
Do you know what the program is?
Through the chair, I have no idea.
Do you know how many programs are currently offered?
Through the chair, I would imagine that it's probably about the same number of programs, although some of the programs have changed.
Okay. Representative Vasquez has a series of questions, so if you would, just go ahead and ask them, and you don't have to come through the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cox, you were appointed to the State Board of Education and Early Development back in March of 2010. So you've been on the board for, what, 5 years?
Through the chair, no, I have been on the board for 12 years. I was first appointed for a two-year term by Governor Murkowski, and then was reappointed for a five-year term, and then was reappointed by Governor Parnell for a five-year term.
And while I'm on the state board, what innovations have you introduced?
Well, I think that when I think about what we have, through the chair, what we have accomplished on the board has been innovations, probably getting rid of the Terra Nova for one thing. We're always looking for fewer things on teachers' plates. Much has happened in the field of teacher preparation. Also in the field of many things have happened regarding statewide correspondence. We have recognition of variable term residential schools like at NACTEC. We've worked hard for waivers from the federal government on No Child Left Behind. I think one of the best innovations that we've had since I've been on the board is has been a change of the school rating system from AYP to the five-star system. When I gave the annual report to the education committees, we talked in terms of I always saw AYP as punitive, and I think the new rating system that we have for schools puts a smile on everybody's faces because it's a positive. Now, of course, we're working on teacher evaluation, which is tied with student growth, and that evaluation system has changed. So maybe those are a few of the things that have changed since I've been on the board. Oh, and recently we just increased the math credit to 3 from 2 for statewide in the statewide regs.
Representative Vasquez?
When you were first appointed to the board, what was the total budget, state budget for education?
Through the chair, I have to apologize. I don't have those numbers at the top of my head, and as I said about the Career Center, I could make a guess. But I would imagine 12 years ago that it was smaller than it is now. Like anything else, the budgets grow.
Follow up.
Do you recall 12 years ago what was the student population for the entire state? Roughly?
Through the chair. I don't know, 50,000? I'm sorry. I apologize. I just don't have those numbers. And I'm uncomfortable just throwing numbers at you.
So, Ms. Cox, I'll ask the same questions for your last year. For this past year, what was the total number of students enrolled in our school system statewide?
Well, I would say some 50,000 students.
Okay.
Ms. Cox, the same question with regard to the total budget last year for the whole school system in the state.
Well, Through the chair. Boy, I wish I had my commissioner here with me. He's my budget guy. I would say probably. Well, no, I'm not going to say. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's $several million, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we have the commissioner here. We won't call him up now, but what I will do is after we talk to the next applicant, we'll ask, give him an opportunity anyway to come up. And what I'd be interested in hearing is just where we're at as far as how we're thinking about our situation that we're in, having to regroup because of the reduction of the funds, and just to see where we're at moving forward. So. Did you have another question?
Yeah.
Representative Seaton, go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering, one of the big changes that we've made in the past here was the Alaska Performance Scholarship. And can you discuss what initiatives or what response has been from the school board to that initiative?
Is that Representative Seaton?
Yes, it was.
Yes, okay, thank you. Through the chair. Yes, we have, of course, embraced this this scholarship and have worked very closely with the commissioner on the development of the regulations that implement the scholarship statewide. My understanding is that we've had over, I think, my number is correct, and boy, the commissioner is shaking his head no, over 800 youngsters who have been able to enjoy this scholarship. Our initiative, as far as the board was concerned, was to help devise and develop the tenets of the scholarship, and then, of course, to pass the regulations to implement this scholarship. And in fact, we do have something on the agenda for this meeting that has to do with the scholarship, and it's another regulation, because 2 years of grace period are over as far as students in meeting curriculum requirements, and so now a new regulation has to support going forward from there. As far as what I think that the scholarship is doing, is it is really making a provision for youngsters who, number one, might not otherwise go to college. And one of the ideas, of course, was as far as what we call the brain drain. We have our youngsters staying in school. I think the particular University of Alaska system has grown with this. And the other thing is that state schools take a look at what they are providing for their students and have helped schools to upgrade their curricula so that they can meet the requirements of the this scholarship. That's one reason that the online courses have been so valuable, because many of the smaller schools can't offer some of the higher level courses that are required for the scholarship. I don't know if I've answered your question, but at least I've danced around it, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you, Esther. I'm going to ask you to make one real quick response. I don't know how close you are on getting on the airplane, and we don't want to make you late, so let us know right away if we're doing that. But if you remember when you were here before the committee, the topic came up about Common Core, and I just would like you to, if you would, make a couple sentences statement about where you see the state is at with Common Core, and if you have any suggestions on how to move forward on that issue. And I'm not going to describe the issue. I'm going to leave that to you, just very briefly, please.
Okay, yes. Mr. Chairman, I know that Common Core has been a real subject of conversation throughout the state. Let me just tell you about a meeting that I attended. I'll try to make this fairly brief. It was a regional meeting for the National School Boards Association, and this goes way back before 2008. And I heard the representative from the CCSSO, or whatever the acronym is for the chief school officers and for the governors' associations, who indeed wrote the core standards. And they made a presentation, and it was so arrogant, I couldn't believe it. And I thought, you know, and we were told exactly what we could do. We could accept these Common Core standards, and we could not change them. And if we wanted to make any change, we could add 15%, and that was it. And I came back and talked with the commissioner at that time and said, you know, this is not what we want for the state of Alaska. And, of course, the department had already been working. We needed to have people involved in our state. If I've learned anything as a school administrator, I learned that the best idea I had would only work if my faculty felt it came from them. If everybody had to have ownership, and that's the tenet that we used when we built our standards for our state of Alaska. And I'm not going to go through all the kinds of meetings and the people who were involved, but there was somebody from every facet of the communities across our state had the opportunity to be involved. And then when the standards were written, they came to the state board. We extended the public input time for usually is 30 days. We went, I think it was 6 months, so that everybody had a chance to make a comment about the standards. One of the issues I know is that they say, well, that our Alaska standards are just like the Common Core. In many respects, they are. But almost half of our Alaska standards are different than the Common Core. And the bottom line is, how many standards can you write for Algebra 1, for example? So some of them are going to be very similar. I think we are stepping out with our standards, and I could give you all kinds of reasons, but in time constraints I'm not going to, of why we need a much more rigorous standard. Many of you are familiar, very familiar, with the statistics on fourth graders and where we stand nationally. The good news is by the time they get to eighth grade, we're doing a whole lot better with our students. And our standards, we had to have standards that Alaska wanted standards, put it that way, wanted standards that when students started out, got across the stage with their diploma, that they were ready for careers, for additional certificate training, for college or university. And our standards had been vetted by the university system, and they say, our students meet these standards, it's going to be a get-go for them once they hit the university system. So much of what I've heard against our standards just flat isn't true, I have to tell you. I have all kinds of faith because of the way they were developed, and the department has done yeoman's work in getting help to schools so that they know how to rewrite their curricula so that they meet these standards.
Thank you, Esther. If we spend as long with the other candidates up for confirmation, we'll be done here at 10:30, and we won't have gotten to the bill. So I'm going to try to wrap it down. We do have one caller, Heather Fussell, from Wasilla. If you would, Heather, state your name for the record and go ahead and ask your question, but please be very brief. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So my name is Heather Fussell. Did you need me to spell that? Or? Well, I can't hear you if you're responding to me. So I would just like to say that I'm really concerned about the discernment level, and I think there is a lot of confusion about our standards mirroring Common Core standards, and I feel like there's less than truth coming out about that. So I would like to ask you about the data that's being pulled from students in these AMP testing, and about it being connected to other personal data through the PSD information, and I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Can you hear me? I was distracted here, but we aren't questioning the candidates now with testifiers. That is not the intent of this meeting. The intent of the meeting is just to review Esther's credentials, and our decision before us today is whether or not to move her name forward to the full body for consideration. So, anyway, I apologize. I was distracted, and I frankly wasn't listening to what you were saying. So, thanks, Heather. I apologize for that. Okay, so with that, Madam Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes, I move that we forward Ms. Esther Cox's application for the State Board of Education and Early Development to the whole body for consideration for confirmation.
Okay, seeing no objections, I just want to put on the record that a vote here on this motion is no indication of how legislators may vote. I'm really losing it this morning. Representative Drummond had a question, but anyway, a vote on this confirmation, and I'm going to object to your motion for a minute to give Representative Drummond a chance to ask her question, but I want to finish my statement. How we vote on this is no indication of how we may vote on the floor. This is a vote on whether or not the name should go forward to the full body for consideration. So if we were to vote no here, what we'd be saying is, no, we don't want the whole body to vote, you know. So it's pretty much a slam dunk for those of you that are in front of me. Okay. Representative Drummond, I do apologize.
That's quite all right, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Esther. Thank you so much for your service. I'm just curious. I had actually developed a question to the Board of Regents, but as we're talking this morning, I have huge concerns that the State House budget eliminates every single form of preschool education that the state funds. What are your thoughts on this missing piece of education as you move forward into your next term on the Board of on the State Board of Education, assuming the entire body confirms you? Just what are your thoughts on eliminating preschool?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, you know, my experience, of course, has always been at the other end. But there's been a really big learning curve from my own children, from my grandchildren, from everything that research points out. It is a major mistake not to take seriously the importance of having children ready for school. And that, of course, means preschool. Once again, it's a pricey idea, but what in education isn't pricey, to tell you quite frankly? I have tried to keep my eye on the budget, what's happening, what is being cut, and I know that education is really taken into the chops, and certainly early childhood education has been one of those major cuts. And it's bad. We need to have kids ready to learn, and every household does not prepare them. And for them to reach their full potential, we really need to reach a handout to many of our youngsters before they get to school. So it's a heartache to me, Representative Drummond, and I think the issue is something that is very easily overlooked by people who are running the red pen. I think it's an essential for our educational, for kids' well-being educationally throughout our state.
Thank you, Ms.
Cox. Thank you. With that, I remove my objection, and seeing no further objection, we'll move her name forward. Dr. Keith Hamilton, if you'd come up. Also an applicant for the State Board of Education. And if you would, identify yourself for the record, and thank you for being willing to step forward and serve, and tell us why you're doing it.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Keith Hamilton. I am an applicant for the State Board of Education, And I was just offered that a few weeks ago, and so I'm getting caught up on a lot of things very quickly. I am a 15-year resident of Alaska, moving here from the lower 48 with my family to plant Alaska Christian College in Soldotna. And we have had a wonderful 15 years of serving mainly Native and rural Alaskan students. Our purpose is to offer a two-year education degree, 2AA degrees actually, to be specific, to allow our students to go back into their villages and to be in the workforce, but also to help many of the woes that are in our villages today. 90% of our student body is Alaskan and from rural Alaska, so I and the team at the college believe that we fill a unique niche in the state. My education is a Bachelor's of Arts from Seattle Pacific University, a Master's of Divinity from Fuller Theological Seminary, Pasadena, and then a doctorate in Family and Youth Culture, also from Fuller Theological Seminary. That's my background.
Okay. Thank you very much. And any questions from the committee? Representative Seat.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I really appreciate the work that the college has done there on the Kenai Peninsula and the effectiveness of bringing rural Alaska students in and making that transition. I was wondering how you see your background and understanding their influencing work of the State School Board.
Yeah, thank you, for the Chair. Representative Seaton, one of the pieces when the Commissioner's office contacted me was being help a liaison to Board of Education and what we're doing statewide in higher education. Because I'm from the higher ed side, I have very little experience in the K-12 side, but there needs to be some sort of a bridging person, and I've been asked to be that person in that role. So I think that's what I'll bring uniquely to that position.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. We should ask a tough question. We're in tough economic times, and I want to repeat the question a little bit. You got any ideas for the education system of Alaska and how we can be innovative and maybe find efficiencies and new ways of approaching things? I understand that you're not on the state board yet, but if you have fresh ideas and fresh blood has always been good in any commission board I've ever been on. I just wonder if you had any thoughts on that.
Thank you, Representative Keller. Yeah, being just really fresh, invited to serve in this way, I am just getting my feet wet on all issues, all areas, budget especially. Coming back from Mexico on a trip last week, I was presented a 375-page packet to prepare for the meetings today and tomorrow. And so I will be honest with you in that I am excitedly reading through all of that, and I finished it. But jumping out ahead, I'm a fiscal conservative person. And I'm not going to spend more than the state has available to spend. And that will have to be, like my household, how we serve our state. And whatever we are given for a budget, we will work within that. We'll make it happen. New innovation, I'm sorry. I will have those as I'm a strategic person. But starting off today, I don't have any to give.
Okay. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I think Dr. Hamilton is quite successful at raising money, and I think I didn't add up all the numbers, but the list of grants mm-hmm. that you have obtained for your small institution yeah. is very impressive. What degree of success would you say you've achieved in transitioning your two-year Christian college students towards the four-year degree completion? And I did hear you say just now that you are turning out students to enhance the workforce mm-hmm. in their communities. I wasn't seeing that in your curriculum in terms of workforce, but I did see that the transition is what your goal is.
Yeah, excellent question for the Chair. So we are a two-year accredited, offering 2AA degrees, one in Christian ministry, the second in paraprofessional education. We're the only state school anywhere now that offers that two-year degree. UAF's campus, Aleutian campus, terminated that. And so for students who are from rural Alaska saying, I want to go back to the village, I want to be engaged in education, but I'm not really prepared maybe for, I want to go for the whole four-year degree. They can go in, they can serve as a substitute teacher, they can serve as a person in Head Start full-time, they can also be a teacher's aide full-time. Mm-hmm. That's what we're preparing them for. We just received that a year ago, that opportunities are offered as AA degrees. This has been a process of getting accredited 9 years, and then another 2 years to get through ACPE and through our accrediting body to get these degrees offered. So we continue to want to offer degrees that are centric on Alaskan rural needs and helping them to get there. So we are that bridge. We're not a four-year school. The bummer is, and this is why I was trying to be on the Regents board initially, that's where I was headed and I got asked to divert over here, mm-hmm. is because even though we're accredited and of course the state system's accredited, our credits won't intersect. And so when our students start over again in the state system, completely, even if they have a degree, mm-hmm. that's an accredited national degree, they have to start all over again with the university system. Mm-hmm. So we believe that we're offering something really unique for rural people. They can go back and have that degree and serve in their communities.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Vasquez.
I move that we forward the application of Mr. Keith Hamilton for consideration and confirmation to the Board of Education and Early Development. A yes vote on this motion gives no indication how we as legislators will vote on your confirmation. And thank you for appearing before us.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. So, seeing no objection, that's done. Thank you. We have three online for the professional teacher. Oh, I'm going to forego calling me, asking the commissioner if he has comments in light of time. And thank you, Commissioner and Marcy and Les, for coming by. Appreciate it. And the committee will continue our discussion. You heard all the questions. Maybe, you know, if you want to respond some way at a future date. Thank you. Okay, Professional Teaching Practices Commission, you, as I understand it, you kind of oversee the, I guess, the ethics or problems with teachers. That's the role of the commission, and we have three applicants. So if we'll start with David Legg online from Eagle River.
Yeah, this is David.
If you would, identify yourself for the record, and we have your application, and we'll see if we have any questions. Thank you.
Yes, my name is David Legg.
Again, give us a brief statement about yourself, please.
Yeah, I'm currently the principal at Chugiak High School in Anchorage. I am a product of the Anchorage School District, having gone to elementary, middle, and high. Actually attended King Career Center as a student. My 17-year career in education has been split about half between rural and urban Alaska. I did a stint, you know, from Wainwright Barrow down to Southwest, a little bit of time on the Kenai Peninsula. The last six have all been in Anchorage.
I saw your time there in Wainwright, and that means you were there at David Ponick is the name of the school, I believe. I've been there and done some work on the school and brought back good memories when I saw that.
Yeah, Wainwright was a good time. In fact, all my rural experiences, great experiences everywhere I've been in the state.
Yeah. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Is there any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I just note that in your conferences and workshop presentations, you had one in 2011, analysis of special education program costs versus funding in Anchorage School District. So I think that that's something that we would actually like to ask you to send to at least me and maybe the committee, because that's something that we're really looking at. So I appreciate your willingness to serve, and if you wouldn't mind, if you have a PowerPoint or a presentation on that, forwarding it, I'd appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I do believe I still have a PowerPoint.
Thank you. If you distribute it, if you give it to me, I'll give it to the whole committee, David. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative Drummond, thank you for throwing something at me. I needed it.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Thank you. Is it Mr. Legg or Dr. Legg?
Most people just call me Mr. Legg.
Okay. I see. Are you still the principal at Chugiak High School?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I have absolutely no doubt that you will be a good addition to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I'm just curious about the current population at Chugiak High School. As you may know, I was a school board member in Anchorage from 94 to 2003, I'm just curious about the population in the various schools at this moment in time.
Well, as you know, the overall population in Anchorage has gone down about 1% every year for the last few years. Chugiak High School, we're currently at 1,086 students. Back before Eagle River High School was built, we were sitting at about 2,300 students. And when Eagle River was built, of course, 700-800 students went that direction. But our population's been pretty flat here. We actually exceeded our projections this year by about 50 students. So right now we're remaining flat, right around, like I said, today it's 1,086 students.
Okay, and just to follow up?
Representative Drummond.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Legg. And what's the capacity of Chugiak High School in its remodeled condition?
I would actually have to talk to the facilities department because their formula is based upon how the space is used. So in terms of an actual number, we're probably on paper about 40% vacant, but I don't know the exact number because it depends on how you look at the space. On paper versus reality are sometimes two different things because we do have sections of the building that are vacant that aren't really in a state to be occupied at this point. But there's definitely things that could be done to move more students into the building.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Vice Chair Vasquez.
Yes. I move that we forward the application of Mr. David Legg for the State Board of Education and Early Development to the whole body for consideration for confirmation.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, Representative Seaton. I think we said State Board of Education. I think we're professional practice.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
You'd like to correct your...
I apologize for the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Thank you. A yes vote on this motion gives no indication how we as legislators will vote on confirmation.
Thank you, and I see no objection. You almost got promoted there, David. But thank you. Next one, we're going to go to Dr. Laster. I'm also a applicant for PTPC, and he has served on the PTPC. So if the committee has questions about that, he'd be a good one to ask. Are you there, Martin?
Yes, Representative Keller. For the record, my name is Marty Laster. I served for 3 years, and I represent the university system.
Thank you, Dr. Laster. Do we have any questions for Marty? Representative Seaton?
I guess I just had one on the duties and what you've been able to accomplish on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, one of the things that I think that I bring to the commission is that I've been a teacher, a principal, a superintendent, and now a professor at the university. And I think one of the things that does is it helps me understand the perspectives that each of the representative parties brings and helps facilitate resolution to issues. I've also started a superintendent's program and invited the executive director to talk to aspiring superintendents. I'll stop there, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Seeing no other questions, Representative Vasquez.
I move
does that
we...
answer your question?
Does that answer your question, Representative Seaton?
It does.
Thank it you. Does. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking time to call in, Dr. Laster. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Difficult time hearing the response of Representative Seaton.
Would you repeat his response, if you didn't hear, was that he was happy with your answer?
I just caught the tail end of your response, Representative Beller.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we have evidently some technical difficulties that I wasn't aware of. Representative Seaton is happy with your response. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a great deal of respect for Representative Seaton.
Thank you.
And the body.
Thank you. Representative Vasquez?
I move that we forward the application of Mr. Martin Laster for the Professional Teaching Practices Commission to the whole body for consideration for confirmation. A yes vote on this motion gives no indication how we as legislators will vote on confirmation.
Seeing no objection, the name will go forward, and thank you again for your willingness to serve. Rebecca Hemshoot, if you're online, if you would, identify yourself and tell us why you have put your name forward for this position.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hemshoot, and I'm from SitCare. Did you want some biographical information or just confirmation that I'm online?
We confirmed that you're online, but just why are you doing this? It's a lot of work. It's volunteer, okay. And we appreciate it and all that. We have your resume before us, so we may have questions or comments as we go, but tell us why you're doing this, please.
Okay, yeah, I followed the PTPC since I became a teacher in Alaska 2 decades ago. I think the work of the commission is super valuable. Policing our own is a huge task in education, as with any profession, but I can't think of anything more important to protecting both our students and the reputation of the teaching profession than to maintain the highest possible standards, and I think the PTPC plays a vital role in that. So my interest is really twofold. I want to make sure that students are getting the best education they can from the best educators they can. So I want to make sure that we protect the profession. And at the same time, I want to make sure that a teacher brought before the PTPC has due process, has a clear process that is fair.
Thank you. I can't help but comment reading your resume. That 1,200 mile trip on the Yukon, I mean, that really sounds great. Was that in a canoe or?
No, I opted for a kayak. You don't catch the wind as much in a kayak, and I just feel more stable in a kayak, but it means less gear. So we had some food drops. And I'm still disappointed that I ended in Galena and didn't make it to Emonic.
At any rate, we're all jealous, I think, or at least some of us are. any other questions for Rebecca? Representative Vasquez.
I move that we forward the application of Ms. Rebecca Hemshoot for the Professional Teaching Practices Commission to the whole body for consideration for confirmation. A yes vote on this motion gives no indication how we as legislators will vote on her confirmation.
Seeing no objection, the committee will move her name forward and the paper will be coming around to sign. Thank you again, Rebecca. What we're going to do now is go directly to HB 207. You've got a few notes in front of you about the bill, but HB 107. So we're going to have the sponsor or the sponsor's representative come forward and/or. And if you would, you know the drill, you know, you identify yourself for the record and tell us what this bill will do, HB 107.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Representative Lynn Gaddis, and I represent the Greater Wasilla Area, District 7. And I will defer to my staff, Andrew Ford, who's done a lot of the research and a lot of the work on this bill. And if you will, Mr. Chair, my staff, Andrew Ford.
And just for the record, we gave him a good hard time the first time he was here. This is the second time, so we'll try to go a little easier and keep the questions. Go ahead, if we would, Drew, identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Andrew Ford, and I am staff for Representative Gaddis. So I'm here to present House Bill 107, and it's truly about diversity in Alaska and promoting that diversity. You have a rather large binder in front of you, and I realize this is a little bit larger than some of the other ones you've probably seen. But I'm going to start with Section 1, which has the bill and the sponsor statement. And, Mr. Chairman, would you like me to go through a section-by-section summary?
If you would, just give a real quick summary of what the bill does. And then we'll go through the sectional, and that'll give us a really good idea of what it does. But if you, and I'm sorry that I distracted a little bit this morning figuring out the procedures and that kind of thing. So did you already make a brief overview, Representative Gaddis? If you did, we'll just go right to the sectional.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. No, my staff will read the sponsor statement, which will kind of clarify those, especially those listening online this morning. And if the committee so chooses, my staff is ready to go through the sectional. So with that, Mr. Andrew Ford.
Andrew, if you do that, then you have my full undivided attention now, I promise.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Okay, so the sponsor statement starts by talking about the history of the university, and the University of Alaska is almost 103 years old now and has about 32,000 students a year. It is also governed by an 11-member board of regents, one of which is a student regent. Since its inception, there have been 143 regents and trustees that have been appointed and confirmed by the legislature. Of those, 23 have been student regents, 15 have been from Juneau, 28 have been from a community that is located off the road system, 31 have been from Anchorage, and 56 have been from Fairbanks. Excluding student regents from this, only two regents have been from the Kenai Peninsula, and none have been from the Matsu Valley. In 1946, the state's population was 103,000 people. The estimates for 2015, the state has exploded to a population of 735,601. Most of this population growth has been in the Matsu Valley. A direct correlation of this is school district size. The Matsu School District is the second largest school district in the state, and 12.6% of first-time degree-seeking freshmen at the University of Alaska are from the Matsu Valley. If you visit the Board of Regents website, they have the following mission statement. The University of Alaska inspires learning and advances and disseminates knowledge through teaching, research, and public service, emphasizing the North and its diverse peoples. So in accordance with the diversity of the University of Alaska and the state as a whole, this bill calls for a change to the composition of the university's Board of Regents, giving voice to those in the Matsu Valley, the Kenai Peninsula, and those living off the road system. And Mr. Chairman, would you like me to go through a sectional analysis of the bill now?
That would be great. Thank you, Andrew.
Okay, so Section 1 repeals Alaska Statute 1440-130A and is reenacted to read, the Board of Regents consists of the following members: one resident of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, a resident of the municipality of Anchorage, a resident of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, one resident of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, one resident of the city and borough of Juneau, one resident of a community that is not described in 1 through 5 of this subsection and is not connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks, and then one student who satisfies the requirements under B of this section. And then there's four members at large to make up the 11-member Board of Regents. Section 2 is amended, and it doesn't really change the intent of this section. It really just adapts it to what we're changing the previous subsection to read. So the governor appoints a regent to fill the positions under Section A, 1 through 6, and before it had just read, the governor appoints agent to the board. And then section three is a transition section. And so essentially what this says is that we're not going to ask someone to be removed from the board. We will wait until their terms expire, and then under, like, through the next round of appointments, we will require these qualifications to be in place, put in place.
Okay. Before the committee, I ask the committee if you have questions. I just want to, the intent here is to get the bill before us. We're not going to ask the committee to take action today. And we have online the chair of the Board of Regents. We have the student regent with us here in the room. And so if we have questions, you know, that are going to be directed at the board, you know, just keep that in mind that they'll be online to testify. But is there any questions for Drew or the sponsor? Representative Seaton.
Thank you. In section two, the requirement that appointing the person, does that mean if someone was in MATSU and was appointed and then moved to Anchorage, they are automatically kicked off the regents? Or because the transition language only covers those in this transition period, not, or does this just say that if you are a regent, you're restricted to living within the particular area from where you were appointed?
Through the chair to Representative Seaton, it would require live in their specified region, and if they moved out of it, they would be removed from the Board of Regents or lose their seat.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? I had one, and this was one that you may not want to respond to. We leave it to Joe or the somebody else on the Board of Regents, but I was just contemplating whether 11 is an appropriate number on the Board of Regents, and you know, just how firm we are in that. I serve on a number of boards and commissions, and that's getting pretty unwieldy. And I actually, in light of the economic times, I was considering maybe an amendment that would eliminate two of the at-large members, and you know, just for consideration, like that discussion. So, I see Representative Gaddis.
And Mr. Chair, as the sponsor of this, we wanted to keep the composition the same to try to not get into that particular argument, but we have absolutely no problem making it a less cumbersome board. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The legislative legal opinion that was forwarded with the bill, looking at the divisions of powers, the legal opinion seems to be pretty clear that this would probably be a the legislature taking away the powers of the governor, and because the Constitution gives the governor the power to appoint and us the power to confirm, there seems to be some ambiguity since governors in the past haven't objected and taken the legislature to court for certain actions. So I guess what I'm looking at here is, why wouldn't we definitely anticipate a legal challenge to this? Otherwise, according to the theory in our legislative legal opinion, the governor would be ceding authority over appointments to the legislature.
And through the chair, Representative Seaton, certainly there are laws that we make here in this body that some people say are illegal, can't do, against the Constitution. You never know until you make those laws and until it goes to court. So our position is that we think the full state of Alaska should be represented in our university, and we shouldn't just have a particular portion. So it's less about the MATSU, but I'm not going to lie to you, it is about the MATSU. Having somebody that sits on that Board of Regents that actually can speak from our, but it's also about folks living off the road system to be able to speak from their position. basically to incorporate all students. So although I hear you in that constitutionality, as we move forward, we'll see where we go with that.
Thank you for your response. Representative Seaton?
According to the legal memo, and I appreciate you putting that in the packet, so individually people didn't have to ask that question. We do have the power to confirm or not confirm, and so I'm wondering why that you don't feel that power of confirmation is adequate to for the legislature to talk to the governor, any governor. I mean, this is not a particular governor, to get those appointments, those things be considered in the appointment process.
Representative Gaddis?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I think you look back in history, and I think that says enough. We just haven't been represented, so I think that that's why there has to be a change. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Seeing no other questions at this time, thank you. If you would, just stay there. Be comfortable, and we'll take some testimony. We're going to start with, I think we'll start with Kim Ford and Lucilla.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Kim Ford. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kim. Identify yourself and who you represent, and go ahead.
My name is Kim Ford, and I am representing myself, actually, but I used to be the chairperson for the Economic Development Advisory Council for the MATSU. And this bill is, I was just nodding in strong agreement when Representative Gaddis said that you can look at history and see how this, you know, that we have not been represented. And this is important to us for economic development purposes as well as for education. When we, in 2009, did the strategic plan that we had hired TIP Strategies for, they came in and they did an analysis of our economic development and recommended that we develop a university medical district. And when we set in place a work group to research that, they came back. Elizabeth Ripley was the head of that. She came back and she said, without representation on the University of Alaska Board of Regents, this will never happen. And so we have, you know, the first step is to ensure that we do have representation, and we should, because of how our region is growing and how, you know, we do have a two-year degree school here. They have wanted to be 4 years, and that has not happened. They've talked about it for a while. My impression is that has not happened because we don't have representation. And we have so many students that drive in, my daughter being one of them, driving in every day to take classes. We would like to see the MATSU College develop into a four-year school. And then for economic development purposes, to see that university district, university medical district be developed, I believe that Assemblywoman Barb Doty has written a resolution and put that through, and I think we'll be seeing that later. And that is because she was also on that that work group that looked into doing a university medical district here in the MATSU. It would help our economy. I just heard the mayor of Wasilla give a presentation yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce, and he was giving us the breakdown of the jobs here in the MATSU. And then the number one job for family wage jobs in Wasilla, anyway, is the service-based medical jobs, and that's where it was recommended by this TIP strategies that we develop our economy and add to our living wage jobs for our residents. And so for that as well, we want to see representation. And like Representative Gaddis said, 100 years of history shows that we have not been represented, and that is why this bill needs to take place. Because and we brought before the John Harmon, who was an excellent candidate. I can't think of a stronger candidate. He interviewed twice, once under Governor Parnell's administration, and then under the new governor, and then was not put into the position. And he very much was ready and willing and very qualified, highly qualified. And I'm shocked when I saw who was put on the board. Not to say that they don't deserve it, but John Harmon would have been a much stronger candidate. So just don't understand how that could happen and why he wouldn't be put in that position. And so I feel like we do need to be represented. And anyway, that's my position.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Kim. Is there any questions for Kim? Our resident Seaton has a question.
I was a little unsure of what you were proposing. Were you proposing that there should be a University of Alaska Mat-Su campus, just like there is University of Alaska Southeast or University of Alaska Fairbanks? And is that what you were requesting as a four-year university?
I'm not requesting a four-year university today. And I think, first of all, we need representation to even get to that point. But that is something that is desired here by residents, especially with us being the fastest growing region in the state. I do feel like that someday should be, you know, be in place. But that's not the number one reason why I am in support of this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. With that, we're going to go to John Davies, one of the board regents, from Fairbanks. And I'm sure you want to see Wasilla represented. So, John, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
You're very well. Identify yourself for the record and give us your statement.
Okay, I'm John Davies, and I'm a recent appointment to the board, appointed in February. And I appreciate the interest in the, you know, representation from Wasilla and other areas of the board. I do have a couple of concerns with the bill, and these are, I believe, consistent with the position that the entire board has taken in the form of the letter that you've received from the chair. But specifically, I think one of the things that needs to be focused on is that the Board of Regents is a fairly unique board in that the appointments are for 8 years, and the reason for that is that there's an expectation that the policy that gets developed will be developed in a very thoughtful way and will be implemented over a long period of time, because when you have students that are entering the program and essentially you make a contract with them for 4 years or 5-6 years depending on their program, you don't want to be changing things willy-nilly and rapidly. You want a long-term policy in place, and you want to make changes in a slow and deliberative way. It's not to say that you shouldn't be responsive to new programs, but you have to be careful about what you have in place. And so that's one of the concerns. The other concern is that as our system has developed with the major academic units at Juneau and Anchorage and Fairbanks, and of course originally it was a territorial college and it was located in Fairbanks for many years. When I entered as a student in 1967, it was just the University of Alaska. There wasn't even a separate other academic units. So we need to have regents on the board who have a complete statewide perspective, and I think that's one of the concerns that some of the Board of Regents has with a bill that would explicitly regionalize the appointment process. So that's one concern. I think that we've been working the university system, over the past, I'm aware that over the past 15 years or so, the board has worked very hard to reduce the focus on regionalism on the board and to work much more strongly as a board that represents the entire state. And I think that's a good trend. And I know that in recent years, especially as you're dealing with the budget issues, the administration of the university has developed mechanisms to be much more a single system as opposed to three different systems or 15 different systems, depending on your point of view. So that there's just that concern about, we've been working in the direction of trying to represent the whole state, and I think it could have the unintended consequences of moving backwards in that regard. The second point I would make is in the section 2, where when it says a board member terminates, if you cease to meet the residency requirement, that would fly in the face, I think, of the intent of having 8-year appointments also, that that you would tend to have a much more turnover on the board, and I don't think that that's a good thing from the point of view of a long-term consistent policy. With Mr. Chair, those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. And I saw the sponsor writing notes on maybe thinking about a transition out to. Let's go to Mike Powers, Regent.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairman Keller and members of the committee. I'm Mike Powers, Vice Chair of the University Board of Regents. I've served on the board for 4 years, and there is, John Davies mentioned, I have four years remaining on this 8-year term. I also serve as CEO at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. I want to mention that relative to a point I make here in a moment regarding nursing. By way of background and impression, as I became part of the Board of Regents, I was, I think, the first struck at the collegiality and the statewide perspective that all the regents I have worked with had, or I've had the privilege of working with, highly collaborative, and it's philosophically just is not a regional perspective that I see around that table. It's been one of the most rewarding pieces of this is dealing with the Bob Martins out of the Southeast, or Carl Mars out of Anchorage, or Kurt Wickersham out of Anchorage, or Fuller Cowell, who's bounced between Fairbanks and Anchorage and Fairbanks. All of these representatives have just brought this very large view to the regents. I appreciate Representative Gaddett's interest in education and representation and economic development, in all of our interest in making the best use of precious resources as we operate, three separately accredited universities and their community campuses. With that said, some of the work that has really been challenging for us from a Board of Regents, working with the administration, working with shared governance in the faculty, has been this consolidation of common calendar works, common calendars to help aid credit transfers, ease of movement, general education requirements. And now we're getting into this prioritization of programs, business programs at various universities, education, nursing. And here's my point as a CEO of a hospital. I'd love to have a 4-year nursing program in Fairbanks, and as this was kicked off 10 years ago, that was a big part of the discussion. We have a 2-year program with support from Anchorage. Really is in the best interest of the state. Concentrated skills and expertise and resources in that Anchorage campus, and we all know how fortunate we are to have that resource there in Anchorage with the larger tertiary facilities. And I would suggest my colleagues in Kodiak and Soldotna and Bethel would say the same thing. Other areas of concern that really begin to get touchier, I've begun to appreciate sitting on the Academic Affairs Committee is the discontinuation of academic programs. And again, just as there is geographic incentive to protect certain things, there are academic incentives to protect certain things during a period of, you know, great urgency and crisis. That is their budget constraints. So when there's the need to move promptly and aggressively and thoughtfully, I have come to truly appreciate the statewide perspective that 11 members of the Board of Regents have brought to this. And I would very much speak in favor of continuing that emphasis as opposed to the geographic focus of HB 107. That concludes my testimony. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Regent Powers, very much. And thanks for coming down here last week. We appreciate it. I saved the Chair Jo Heckman, Regent, last, so she can maybe patch up if any of the other regents goofed. I'm just kidding, but you get the last word as far as the regents, I believe, today, Jo. So if you would identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Keller. I am Jo Heckman, currently the Chair of the University of Alaska Board of Regents. And I live in Fairbanks. Then, appointed to the Board of Regents for 4 years now, at the same time as Regent Powers, so we are colleagues in that aspect as far as tenure is concerned. We received the proposal from Representative Gaddis regarding HB 107, I responded back in February, and I believe the letter may be in front of you, or you may have had an occasion to read it. We also had Regent Hughes, who wrote a letter and expressing her thoughts and concerns about HB 107. And we have had, as you have heard, several folks on the phone talking about it. So I really appreciate them taking the time to talk about this. While at the Board of Regents, we can understand and appreciate the reasons behind HB 107, there are concerns that have been well expressed, but I will reiterate them. The creation of geographical constituencies and regional residency requirements are of concern to us. As you know, we have four new regions that have yet to be confirmed. With the university having to make such tough decisions and actions that have to be taken, if we have an environment where a residency shift, the transition that was just mentioned, where a person moves from MAPSU to Anchorage or to Fairbanks and it kicks them off the board, and now we're waiting for a reappointment of a qualified person, whoever makes that determination, and then wait to take the action, it really impedes our ability to function as a board and to take action. So I'm concerned about that, and I'm concerned about the regionalism and the promote, and that is precisely what HB 107 is wanting, as the testimony of the young lady, is that they need representation from MAPSU. I have no qualms with that or no issues with that. We work very hard on Board of Regents. In fact, in orientation with the four new regions, that is the first thing we talk about, that it does not matter where you come from. We are happy to have you, and we are here to tell you that we work as a board with a sense of the board, and we make decisions that involve the entire university and our students across the state of Alaska. We do not promote regionalism or regional factions. So it's very difficult to kind of put myself in a position where collaboration, which is a challenge in the best of times, is going to be more challenging. As we look at the best use of our limited resources and how do we service the public effectively across the state of Alaska, if we are impeded or hindered by the residency requirements, and then we are looking at a regional perspective overshadowing the entire university's welfare and moving forward, I think it's going to create problems that we are uncomfortable with. There are concerns about the disputes and delays. There were some comments earlier about legal actions that could be taken. While that may be of concern at the governor's level, the end result would be delays. And delays, again, could limit the board's ability to act. Since we require 6 votes for any board action, lack of having that, we are in limbo, and we are not able to make decisions because we have rejected a governor's appointee, or we have terminated a region because they moved. So those are our concerns. You know, we're willing to work and rather happy to have anybody who steps up to the plate and is appointed for an 8-year term. The 8 years of service is a long-term service to the state of Alaska and to the university. So we appreciate those who put their name in the hat, and then we welcome those who come as regents and join us to do the work that we have to do for our university. So I'll leave it at that, and I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I don't see any questions at this time. Again, we're not going to act on the bill today, and we will. Chris is here in the room, and he will make sure he knows the next time we hear the bill, so you'll be notified. Richard Heller from the Butte, are you online?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you good. If you would, identify yourself for the record and who you represent, and give us your testimony, please.
Yes, good morning. My name is Richard Heller. I'm here representing the Mat-Su Business Alliance. I'm also a resident of the state of Alaska for the past 10 years and the Mat-Su Valley for the past 4 years. I'm also a graduate of the UAA system with a Bachelor of Science in Construction Management and a minor in Business Administration. As we all know, the University of Alaska is the only large college in the state and is a large business model. That's why we are in complete support of this bill presented by Representative Gaddis. There are a few things that stand out to us as relevant business issues. Since 1972, there have been six buildings built for the Mat-Su campus. The most recent is the state-of-the-art theater. Grand as it is, it's too small for the growth that the Mat-Su Valley will experience. It was downsized from 1,000 seats to its present state of just over 500 seats. This is relevant. At the Mat-Su campus, there are no gym facilities, dorms, or labs that can be used. You can only take 200 level and below classes and then have to drive to Anchorage or Eagle River to continue your education. I had to do this at an additional cost to me. Yet we are telling our Valley High Schoolers here to pursue a higher education and then have to wonder why they would choose to go south to complete a four-year program. There is little to no camaraderie, as you see in other campuses across the lower 48. This is also relevant. The Mat-Su Valley is a thriving place to work and grow. We believe at the Mat-Su Business Alliance that with a voice from a Valley region, some of these issues can't be addressed. The last time a region was from the Valley was close to 90 years ago. 90, not zero, years ago, when the population was not as strong as Anchorage. The Mat-Su Valley now has approximately 16% of the state's total population. The state recognizes this growth with the non-legislators of the 60s. That's 15% of the legislation. So why doesn't the Mat-Su Valley have representation on a state entity that has spent $275 million in appropriation in 8 years and roughly appropriated only $20 million to the Mat-Su campus in that time frame? It's time for the state to recognize that the growth rate of the Mat-Su Valley as the largest in the state. In all due respect to the representative of the Board of Regents in Fairbanks, you've had a 0.4% growth rate in that area. The Mat-Su Valley has a growth rate since 1990 of 10.1% versus Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau combined is only 8.99%. It's time for the Mat-Su Valley to have representation on the Board of Regents. This is just the beginning of growth for the Valley. If we want our children to stay and work here, then we have to change the old ways of thinking and choose to progress. The Mat-Su Business Alliance knows that in the next 25 years, we will be a valuable player for our state economy. With representation on the Board of Regents, we know we'll have a voice to help the Valley to continue to grow by teaching our children and keeping them here. Thank you for listening. I'll be glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Richard. I see no questions this time, and I really am appreciative that you would take time to call in. Thanks. Okay, so is there anybody in the room that would like to testify? I think that's everybody we got on the line. Is there any further questions for the sponsor or the sponsor's representative at this point?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I was just wondering, I don't see the definition of residency that's being applied here. I see a one-year residency prior. I don't know if we're talking about voting residency, whether we're talking about physical residency, how long one would have to be there and what that qualification is. So if you could let me know what that residency is, I'd appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for the question. Any others? Representative Chris Tompkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor. Is it the opinion of the sponsor that the lack of representation from the MATSU on the Board of Regents has led to a lack of investment or understanding or relationship with the MATSU part of the UA system, that there's sort of a cause and effect between the two?
And through the chair, Representative Christ Tompkins, I think that the opinion is that we've grown from a small, very, very small community and grown to be the second largest community in the state. And then looking at some of the other areas in the state that have been underrepresented, I think it's bigger than that. So certainly if we had had a seat at the table, we might have been able to talk about some of that underrepresentation, but I think more importantly, I think it's bigger than that. I think it's about the state as a whole. And I'd like to take this opportunity to really speak to the regents. This bill was in no way meant to impugn those that have given up 8 years of their life to do this. They've done a great job. I think it was more about diversifying where our regents come from and who they represent, and that special information that they bring to the table, whether they be the off-the-road system or from the MATSU. We have different interests. We have different things that we bring to the table that it's possible those that haven't lived in the MATSU may not be familiar with. Same with off-the-road system. So that was really what drove the conversation.
Well, thank you for presentation, and thank you for the extensive research. I'm looking here at a document that is titled Breakdown of the University's Board of Regents 1917-2015. This table says it all. There appears to be dramatic inequities as far as areas being misrepresented and other areas being overrepresented. For example, during that period of time, the total appointments for the MATSU Valley was 4. On the other hand, Juneau had 22. On the other hand, Fairbanks had 56. Valdez had only 2 appointments. The Haley region won, McKinley Park won. Off the road system, 28. Anchorage had 37. So there does appear to be a wide dramatic inequity as far as regional representation. And I encourage this committee to look further into this issue and work with Representative Gaddis. It is dramatic. This table says it all,
yeah,
that all the regions are not getting input into the system.
Thank you. That was for the record, that was Representative Vasquez. I didn't.
Sorry.
That's right. And then that's under tab 3 in this fabulous book that you have in front of you. and it is fabulous. I mean, I was just looking, thumbing through it here, and I see it has the Constitution. It has all of the AS 1440 and all the things related to the regents. It has the regents' bylaws. And the reason I'm calling attention to it partly is to give Andrew a gold star, but it's also to remind the committee that we have Board of Regents confirmations coming up, and this is an excellent resource for us to keep on our desks and review before that happens. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious to the maker of the bill. Has there been a resolution passed by the legislature in the past that recommends that the governor look at a geographic distribution like this? And if not, why did you not perhaps consider a resolution in the light of the potential legal challenge?
Representative Gaddis?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond. You know, we pass resolutions here, and sometimes they're relatively meaningless. They get the conversation going, mm-hmm. and that could have been a route to go because it would have opened the door. It would have heightened the conversation. I think our thought was there's no time like the present. I mean, the MATSU is growing at almost a school a year. I think that we thought that a resolution really would heighten the conversation but wouldn't get us to where we wanted to go. But that's a great question. I do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions at this point, what we're going to do is we'll go ahead and close public testimony. But that doesn't mean we can't open it at a future date. And then we'll work with the sponsor and see and decide, you know, what the next steps are and when and all that. So anything else here for the good of the order? If not, on Friday we'll get together and we'll be looking at HB 102. And with that, we'll for the record, it's 9:30, 9:32, Representative Calder joined us. So.